Welcome to Sideline Sleuths, a true crime podcast all about the tragic yet fascinating cases no one can seem to get enough of. I'm Megan.
And I'm Jasmine.
We're so glad you're listening. If you like being an armchair detective, you'll love being a sideline sleuth. Today we're going to talk about the disappearance of a two-year-old boy named Sky Elijah Metawalla, who went missing in 2011 from Bellevue, Washington. I selected this case today because next week will be the 8th anniversary of the day that he went missing, or the day he was discovered to be missing. The word that best describes the story of what happened to this little boy, or at least what his mother wants you to think happened, is suspicious. The police who handled or are handling this case don't believe his mom's story, but as always, you can decide for yourself. So, where is Sky Metawalla, and does his mother know? So, here's what we know. Actually, no isn't the right word to use. So, here's what we've been told. The story goes that on the morning of November 6th, 2011, Julia Buryakova, a mother of two, loaded her two-year-old son, Sky, and her four-year-old daughter, Miley, but I've seen this as Molly and Miley, but it's M-A-I-L-E, but we're going to say Miley. So Julia loaded her two-year-old son, Sky, and her four-year-old daughter, Miley, into her vehicle. Julia said that Sky was sick, and the three of them were heading to Overlake Hospital Medical Center in Bellevue, Washington. But unfortunately, her car ran out of gas around the 2600 block of 112th Avenue. Julia said that she and Miley left the car to walk to the nearest gas station. According to Google, the average high in Bellevue, Washington in November is 52 degrees, and the average low is 40 degrees. But she...
Wait, stop. She and the daughter. Little girl walked to the gas station?
Mm-hmm.
And they left a two-year-old?
The sick two-year-old.
In the car?
Mm-hmm. In November in Washington, when it should have been... in the 40s or 50s.
What?
Yeah. So she left Sky alone, buckled into his car seat, in her unlocked vehicle.
What?
She didn't even lock.
Was she sick too? She had some type of virus in the brain. There is definitely
some. Yeah, that's what it, that, we'll say that. That'll help us explain it. So when Julia and Miley arrived at the gas station, they didn't buy gas. They actually didn't even have a gas can. Instead, Julia called a friend to come pick her and her daughter up, and then that friend drove the two back to where the car was parked. So they just went on an excursion?
I don't understand at all whatsoever. Even if you didn't have a gas can, that's pretty common. I honestly don't have a gas can either. In my car. I'm just out there.
But if I walk to a gas station, I'm going to find somebody to help me get gas.
Yeah, but gas stations sell gas cans.
Yeah, and what purpose did it serve to go there if you weren't going to get gas? Like, why did you do that?
If you're just going to call somebody, you should just call them to your car. Just drop a pin.
Yeah. So, well, there's a reason, I guess.
Julia, I'm not liking it.
Yeah. So an hour passed between when Julia and Miley left and when they returned. By this time, according to what Julia's saying, Sky was gone. To this day, he has not been seen since.
Listen, of course he was gone.
But you left your car unlocked.
You left your car unlocked with a two-year-old, but honestly, if I was just a passerby... and I saw a two-year-old in November in Washington stuck in a car. I would
take him out and take him somewhere. Somewhere. So of course, even if it was something not like sinister, somebody needed to take him. So
we treat dogs better than that.
Yeah, we should. Well, not better than children, but like we should treat every living thing better than this. Yeah. So I just don't understand this at all. If you could just phone a friend, why not stay at your car and call someone to meet you, Miley and Sky, at the broke down vehicle? So. At this point, it's 2011, and people have cell phones. Police said that Julia did have a cell phone, but that she left it, as well as her purse and wallet, at home that morning, which would explain why she didn't buy a gas can, but she could have called her friend to come up there to buy the gas can, put gas in, and then go get your stuff. Like, it was unnecessary to call a friend.
I also have a lot of questions about why you would be headed to a hospital with no wallet, no ID. Like, you need to at least provide your insurance information.
Like, literally my next sentence was, which doesn't make sense because you need all of those things if you were to take your sick child to a hospital. Like, all of those things. So, Let's say that Julia doesn't have her phone and that was just somehow an oversight on her part and not intentional. Surely, a woman on the side of the road with a stopped car and two children would prompt a passing motorist to stop and help them, or at the very least, call authorities to alert them to the situation so they can come and help. Like, if I saw a woman with a car broke down the side of the road and two small children, I can't do anything to help her. I'm not mechanically inclined. But I could call somebody else and be like, hey, I just saw this lady. Yeah. Like, at the very least, that would have done something.
Yeah. I'm afraid of to flag anyone down if ever I'm on the side of the road because I consume a lot of true crime. Just like, everyone's going to murder me and my kids.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'd flag them down, but somebody might stop.
Yeah,
but,
someone would stop.
And then you, without you even asking, or they might call the police or something. Or if someone stops and you're uncomfortable, be like, kid, you just, I didn't bring my phone. Can you just call, like, the non-emergency police number or something?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So, leaving the car to go to the gas station, to not buy gas, to not get a gas can, to not even have your friend do either of those things, but instead just have your friend drive there to pick you up and take you back to the car that doesn't start, allegedly, then that doesn't make any sense.
Makes zero sense. Also, did she call from her, she called from the gas station?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. 2011, you might have still known people's numbers by heart.
Oh, yeah. That seems kind of strange. Yeah, I don't. One account I read said that it was about a mile walk for Julia and her daughter to the Chevron station, but that they reportedly spent time walking around a wealthy neighborhood instead in that area on the way to the gas station, but that Julia didn't ask anyone for help. Police said that, according to Julia, she couldn't find anyone in the neighborhood who would help her despite walking through it for about an hour.
What?
And I feel like...
It's like a mile walk. If they're moseying, she's got a little one. What, yeah. 15 minutes?
Like, okay, like, so really if you're if you're a walker, well, at least when I was a kid, in PE, if you didn't run the mile and you walked the mile, they gave you 16 minutes. So a little kid might slow you down a little bit, but like a 20-minute mile.
Yeah. And so she took an extra...
40 minutes.
40 minutes to mosey.
Yeah.
And didn't find anyone. I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Police are trying to do. They're trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but if it seems I was in a rich neighborhood and I was like having like a poor person problem, I'd be like, I'll just wait until I get to the gas station.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was necessary to walk through that neighborhood to get to the gas station or if it was just like the scenic route because she was trying to lapse some time.
Yeah. Oh, no, so, I have questions.
Yeah, so that like.
Going everywhere.
As I mean, if you're gone for just a second and you come back and your kid's gone, what's the likelihood that someone abducted your kid? I mean, it's possible that someone abducted your kid, like, within 5 minutes of you leaving your vehicle.
Yeah.
But if you're gone for a whole hour, they have there's a lot more of an opportunity, yeah.
What do you think she sold on the black market?
What?
So do you think she sold a kid on the black market or something?
No.
Okay. No.
Julia reported her son missing at 9:50 a.m., law enforcement conducted an extensive search of the area, but did not find any sign of Sky. But what they did find was that Julia's Acura had, in fact, not run out of gas. And there was still 2.2 gallons remaining, nor was it mechanically malfunctioning in any way.
OMG. Did she think nobody was going to...
check this out? Like, I mean, I guess something could have happened. Like... my Rogue, I drive a Rogue, and when it was pretty new, the transmission malfunctioned, but it didn't do it all the time. So, like, replicating the problem for a mechanic was, like,
difficult.
Really hard. But I was like, yes, my car just randomly, like, I was driving on the interstate, and it just randomly went from, like, 70 to, like, 20, and I just couldn't get it to accelerate anymore.
That's so scary.
But I had to be driving it for, like, a long time to build up make the problem happen to where it would do it. So it took forever for a mechanic to see it. So it could have had some other issue, but considering...
yeah, like, you know what running out of gas is. There's a gas light.
Yeah.
There's a sound.
Yeah. So, I
when
mean...
when you open up the gas.
Yeah. So I think that
poor
because
people.
I'm already suspicious, I'm inclined to think that it wasn't, like, a hard-to-replicate malfunction and that it was actually fine.
Yeah.
So... witnesses say that they passed the abandoned vehicle between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. and that there wasn't a child inside of it when they drove by. The wooded area near where the car was abandoned, on the route that Julia took to get to that point, and the wooded areas surrounding the family's apartment were all searched but didn't provide anything. Search and rescue dogs were able to pick up on the boy scent in the mother's car, but not in any of the surrounding areas. Major Johnson with the Bellevue Police said, quote, "The search and rescue personnel that were on the scene that morning of this event told us that one possible explanation for the lack of scent leading away from the car was that someone took him out of the car and placed him in another car and then left the area, end quote. So it could have been like a very easy swap.
Yeah, I could see that.
But witnesses say they didn't even see him in the car. So,
yeah, from 8 a.m. onwards.
Yeah, so was he ever in the car?
So, well, when you said that, I was thinking, well, maybe this is just like the story of how he went missing, but he, you know, something happened to him well before then.
That's where my brain's going. So,
but Sky, the searches around his house didn't turn anything
out. Nothing. So Sky's mother, Julia, declined to take a polygraph test or to even speak directly to the police about her son's disappearance.
What?
And like, we've talked about, like, I would never take a polygraph test. Don't take a polygraph test, people. But if you don't take it, it does make you look suspicious. But it's, so it's like, it's weird. It's like, I would never take one, nor would I instruct my family and friends to take one or encourage it or whatever. And, but if you don't take it, it does make you, because like, what do you have to hide?
Yeah. But more than that too, I just feel like if you lost your 2-year-old, and he's a cutie, guys. Mm-hmm. If you lost your 2-year-old, you would want to do everything in order to cooperate. Yeah.
So,
Her story sounds fishy AF.
Oh, it's only going to get fishier.
Okay, crazy.
Instead, she opted to communicate solely through her attorney. And according to that attorney, Julia was simply too distraught and therefore in no condition to take a lie detector test.
Oh, wow. But was she distraught when the police asked her to take the lie detector?
I don't think so.
Did they do that directly or did they do that
through her lawyer? Probably through her lawyer because she was not talking. The rest of Sky's family members, including his father, Solomon Metawala, cooperated with the investigation, and Solomon has been active in the search for their son. However, Julia has not. Quote, "We want to believe Julia," Bellevue Police Major Mike Johnson said. "We want to help her find her missing child, but her story is falling apart day by day, and her lack of cooperation so far in regarding to providing more information proactively and submitting to a polygraph doesn't help," end quote. So they really want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but they're like, you are not helping us help you.
Wow. So the husband, so are they together?
No, they're estranged. They're in the middle of a divorce. I'll tell you this in a second.
I'm sorry. My question's
over. No, you're good. Solomon did agree to take a lie detector test, but the results were deemed to be inconclusive. Investigators learned no one besides Julia and Miley had seen Sky for at least 2 weeks prior to him being reported missing. But they believe it could have been even longer than that. According to Solomon, he was not aware of anyone confirming to have seen his son, other than Julia, of course, since an April doctor visit, so that was like 7 months before he vanished. So you're probably like, why aren't you seeing him? They were in the middle of this like heated divorce, and he was currently not allowed to have visitation.
I got questions about that. Now, first off,
I don't know if I say that. Well, okay, so Julia had custody of the children, and she had been making abuse allegations that were later determined to be unfounded. And I think I say that, but I'll say it again when we get there. So that's why he was currently not allowed to see them, but it really ended up being nothing.
Oh, that's so vicious.
Yeah. So I think neighbors were actually able to confirm that 2-week timeline, but they did say that the children rarely ever left the residence and they didn't see them often. Solomon and Julia separated in 2010, and were still in the middle of a messy divorce at the time that Sky disappeared. We just said that. Both of them accused the other parent of being abusive, and each sought protective orders against the other. So it was definitely, like, hostile way before whatever happened to Sky happened to Sky. In December of 2009, while the couple was still married, they were both cited for reckless endangerment because they left Sky, who was then just 3 months old, alone in their car when it was really cold out, just 27 degrees, in a Target parking lot. They left their 3-month-old baby in the car.
So she's done this before.
And they've gotten in trouble for it. Before.
It's wrong.
Yeah. The pair agreed to take parenting classes, do community service, and spend a year on probation. After completing all of these requirements, the case was dropped. And yet, less than 2 years later, Julia does the exact same thing in slightly warmer temperatures. At the time of Sky's disappearance, his dad, Solomon, here we go, this is the part I told you I was going to say, was court-ordered to not have any contact with him or Miley, so he actually hadn't seen them for about a year when all of this happened. He said that Julia had been treated in 3 different mental health facilities for chronic depression and that she also has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And allegedly part of her OCD is, like, really intense cleaning.
So baby could really make that difficult.
Yeah. I also read that she had in the past at some point even reported to have had dreams where she murdered her children. Solomon claimed that these diagnoses are what caused her to neglect the children's needs. Julia, on the other hand, said that Solomon has anger problems and was both verbally and physically abusive towards her during their marriage. She made other allegations of abuse towards the children, but they were never substantiated and were eventually ruled to be unfounded. So he spent a year away from his small children, where like a year really counts. They're 4 and 2, yeah. And it ended up being nothing.
Oh.
Julia frequently left the children alone in the house. Reportedly, in the days leading up to Skye's disappearance, they were left unattended for as many as 11 hours. This is known because... What? Yeah, 11 hours. So, like, in Texas, I believe there's no minimum age for when you can leave your kids alone. And I learned that when that little girl, do you remember Sharon Matthews a couple years ago? Her parents killed her, and then they said that they just went to dinner and they came back. Their 3-year-old was gone. And people were like, well, in Texas, there's no minimum age. But, like, come on, have some common sense. My kid is 6. He'll be 7 soon. I have never left him in my house alone like, to walk to the mailbox. And that's, like, it. Yeah. And that's it. So I don't understand why you're leaving your 4-year-old and your 2-year-old alone for 11 hours. So
Sounds like a lot. I don't know. Being a parent is hard. I get it. Sometimes it's you need really to break out. Yeah. Whoa.
But yeah, like never to where you would neglect them like that.
11 hours.
And the reason this is known is because she was participating in this very long divorce and child custody mediation session that day. And the kids were home by themselves.
She didn't get a babysitter?
No.
And she's going to try to... make a claim in court that she's, like, the only one fit.
But she didn't tell them this, obviously.
Obviously, but I'm just saying. What a...
I don't know. Nut job?
What a conundrum. How do you...
What a ding-dong. What a ding-dong. You're missing opportunity to use your catchphrase. During that mediation session, Julia agreed to maintain physical custody of the children, but allowed Solomon to have visitation rights. So they were making progress. But not even a full day later, she backed out of that agreement and said she changed her mind. And then, as you know, Skye allegedly vanished from her park vehicle not long after that. So, after Skye went missing, Miley was placed in a foster home. But in March of 2012, Solomon was officially granted full custody of both children, despite Skye's whereabouts being unknown. Unfortunately, Miley was really too young to help police in the investigation of her brother's disappearance. All she told them was that Skye had been in the car with them that morning. However, she was only 4 years old at the time this took place, so there's been some debate about whether or not you can really take her word for it and say if Skye was actually there or not.
She's a little jitterbug. And also, I mean, if her mom said it a billion times.
Yeah.
She's impressionable. Poor little thing. I bet you now she knows her brother.
Probably not.
She's 8 years older now.
Yeah, she's 12, but she doesn't... She probably has little memory of that event, and she doesn't really have contact with her mom, so...
You're right.
Police believe that Julia is lying to them about Skye's disappearance, and Solomon believes that whatever happened to him, Julia knows. In a press conference around the time this took place, Bellevue Police Major Mike Johnson said, quote, "We suspect foul play. Nothing about the story adds up," end quote. And I agree, like, it's not making any sense, but it's gonna get so much weirder.
Oh, I'm so excited and nervous.
The night before, Julia says that she and her children were heading to the hospital and Skye was taken from her car, an episode of Law & Order Special Victims Unit aired with an incident that shared striking similarities to what Julia said happened.
I've probably seen it.
I think the episode's called Missing Pieces, and it had aired before, but the night before this happened, it re-aired in the Seattle area. And then the following morning, Julia reports her son missing. In that episode, a woman told police that she left her young son, still strapped into his car seat, in the car while she went inside to a convenience store. I think she was buying diapers. When she came back out, it was discovered that both the car and her son were missing. However, there was never any abduction, and the boy's remains were eventually found. You'd think that his parents killed him, but it was determined that the baby actually died from SIDS, and the parents just panicked and buried him and weren't the ones responsible for his death. The good news is that the police in Bellevue, Washington, handling Skye Matawala's disappearance, quickly became aware of that episode and the similarities it shared with Skye's story.
Nice work, detectives. Yeah. Stay up on your true crime. They said your fake crime shows.
And your crime, yeah. They said that several people in their, like, operations, like, center had seen that episode. And some even, like, that night before and were like, hold on, I just watched this last night on TV. So, according to Solomon, Skye's father... Law & Order is Julia's favorite show.
Oh,
so
good.
He's like, duh, she saw it. The police...
It's a lot of people's favorite show.
It's a lot of people's favorite. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Olivia Benson?
Yeah.
So The police don't want to jump to conclusions and come right out and blame Julia for Skye's disappearance, so they worked tirelessly to try and corroborate the story she told them. But they said finding any evidence to support her claim has been hard. A law enforcement representative said, quote, "We want to believe Julia. We want to help her find her missing child, and we want her cooperation to do that. And at this point, the information she's given us has been problematic and has created more questions than answers," end quote. Authorities have often cited a lack of cooperation from Julia, but it should be known that she did give police permission to search the car, her computer, and her home. Major Johnson also commented on Julia's social media accounts. He said that investigators discovered her Facebook page featured dozens of photos of her four-year-old daughter, but only one or two of Skye. He said, quote, "It's unusual, I guess, at first glance, to consider the fact that a mother of two children would only have a predominantly one-sided view of her family on Facebook. That seems odd to us," end quote.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of strange angles on that.
So let's talk about the theories. The main one I see circulating is that something happened to Skye in that long period of time where Skye and Miley were left home alone while Julia and Solomon participated in the custody hearing. This would help explain why immediately after it, Julia decided to back out of that agreement that they had just made.
Wow, right, that makes sense.
Changing her mind would buy her some more time because Solomon wouldn't be expecting to see the children. So the idea is, now remember that this is just a theory that's been posted, so all of this is hypothetical. But perhaps he died somehow and she didn't want people to know that they were left unattended because then maybe she could be on the hook for some kind of criminal negligence or endangerment or manslaughter or something. And she didn't want to lose Miley too. So then she watches Law & Order that night and decides that that's how she's going to try to explain Skye's absence. However, cadaver dogs did not pick up on the scent of decomposition or death or whatever in Julia's apartment or in her car. But as you know, part of Julia's OCD is reportedly excessive and compulsive cleaning.
Oh, okay.
Solomon's attorney believes that the child was harmed or died somehow and that Julia just cleaned any evidence so well that it went undetected. Theory two is parental kidnapping. Both of Skye's parents have relatives and strong ties to people outside of the country. So Julia, I think, is from the Ukraine, and Solomon is from Pakistan. And so neither of them were born in the United States, so they still have the majority of their family overseas. It has been suggested that perhaps in a time frame of a week or two leading up to the disappearance, that Skye was actually taken out of the country, and the time between then and when Julia claims he was abducted allowed them to pull that off. But I can't see how Solomon would have been able to do this because he wasn't even seeing them. So obviously if they're fighting and Julia has all the access to the children and one day Skye is just gone and she's totally clueless about it, she would have reported it much sooner and likely pointed the finger at her estranged husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only way I can see the theory of parental kidnapping panning out is if Julia was the one who sent him away. Solomon thinks that perhaps Julia's father, who visited her and the children in the spring of 2011, may have taken the child back to the Ukraine with him, but admitted that he did not know how that would have actually happened. Solomon, however, does believe that Skye is alive somewhere, but his attorney does not. She said, quote, "I don't think he's alive, and Solomon doesn't like when I say that, but that's what I think," end quote. She said that she believes Julia is responsible for Skye's death and admits that it could have been due to negligence, though, rather than Julia intentionally harming him. So it could have been similar to the Law & Order episode where he, something happened. She didn't kill him, but he somehow died.
Yeah, and she felt guilty.
She needed to get rid of him, yeah. If Julia thought Solomon was in any way responsible for Skye's disappearance, I feel like she would have made public pleas for his return and said just that. But instead, Solomon is the person who did that. And he's the one who publicly suggested that Julia is involved. In my opinion, it's more likely that something happened to Skye before the morning of November 6th, 2011, that he was never sick that morning, that he was never in the car with Julia and Miley. After watching the Law & Order episode, Julia was inspired or motivated to try and explain Skye's absence that way. But I don't think she murdered him in cold blood or anything like that. I think maybe whatever happened to him was an accident and she didn't know what to do. Of course, there's also the possibility that he isn't dead and he's still living somewhere. I haven't seen any police statements suggesting that Skye's dead. There's been no mention, to my knowledge, that this is a case of presumed death. More that they really just have no idea what happened, but suspect that foul play is involved. In 2015, On the fourth anniversary of Skye's disappearance, Steve Milet, the new police chief in Bellevue, made a public plea to Julia to talk to them and help find her son. He said, quote, "I am convinced you hold the key to finding Skye." The Bellevue Police Department has, at different times, said that they've exhausted all leads reported to them. And now it's at a standstill. Julia, at some point, got remarried to a man named Alan Morgan. They've had incidents of domestic violence in that relationship as well. In 2015, Julia and Alan had a son together named Elijah James Morgan. Elijah was Skye's middle name.
Same name?
Yeah.
Okay.
CPS sought to remove him, alleging that neither parents were fit to raise him. Hospital personnel where the child was delivered reported a concern about Julia's mental health to CPS because she refused a psychiatric evaluation. Alan Morgan is a convicted felon.
Yeesh.
Not that that alone means he's a child abuser or an unfit parent, but authorities in Florida had previously removed a child from his home, but I'm not sure why or when they did that. Reports show that Alan has an extensive criminal history that includes several CPS referrals for domestic violence cases related to a woman and a child he fathered with her previously. And that's the same child.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the same child who was removed from Alan's care. So Miley lives with Solomon now.
Oh, right. Oh, girl.
By Julia's own admission, she is not allowed to be alone with her third child, Elijah, and all visitations must include a monitor. So the child was removed. Now they have supervised. I don't know if Alan, what he does, but Julia has supervised visits because CPS removed Elijah from their home.
That's really sad.
And this couple seems kind of odd to me because apparently about a month before they got married, Julia called the police for a domestic assault incident and Alan went to jail. That's not odd because that happens a lot, but Julia was granted a no-contact order, but then she visited him regularly in jail, which is not that uncommon because it is difficult to cut ties with your abuser. But an investigator for the police documented 12 separate phone calls that Alan made to Julia while he was in jail, and those calls were a violation of the no-contact order. But, you know, it's a cycle, and it's a process to walk away. So the weird part isn't that. The weird part is that Alan and Julia told investigators that they didn't live together, but then provided the same address to investigators.
Okay.
So, like, you don't live together, you just live in the same house? Like, what kind of loophole is that? Like, oh, yeah, no, we don't live together. We just share the same address. Like, have you seen those memes on Facebook that's like, that's not my baby daddy, we just have the same kid? Like, have you seen that?
No.
Okay, well, that's like, yeah, that's like exactly what this is. Oh, we don't live together, we just live in the same house. But they're not together or something? I don't know. Yes. Like, what were you trying to tell them? The couple also denied that they were married, despite that being documented. So I guess they thought people can't find that out or something. And Julia also at one point said she didn't even know who the father of Elijah was, even though Alan Morgan is listed as the father on his birth certificate. Yeah, so she's just something's, there's okay. Some screws loose.
Yeah, maybe.
What a ding dong.
Something like,
I'm stealing your line here.
it suits you.
That's a good one. So Solomon, Skye's father, continues to maintain the belief that Julia is responsible for their son's disappearance and that she harmed him at some sort of like retaliation or a way to hurt Solomon during their ongoing custody dispute. He thinks that she may have given the child to someone else in an effort to hide him and keep him from Solomon, which is possible.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, she, you know.
Sold him on the black market. That's what you mean. Right, yeah.
Something just, like that.
Like,
he looks exactly like Solomon.
Oh my gosh.
He's
yes.
got a little Solomon face.
But just to like, you hate your ex so much that you want to hurt him by never seeing your child again yourself. Like,
yeah, I don't get it, but. I can see, like, when you're in, like, we've been talking about domestic violence a lot, and, like, there was, like, such a weird.
But we don't know if there's domestic violence going on in this family. It said the reports were unfounded, so.
True, you're right.
She's just, like, Looney Tunes.
Okay, you're right.
I don't know. Like, so I have a really good co-parenting relationship with my son's dad and his wife, and people always comment, like, we're all dressing up for Halloween together. At the time you guys will have listened to this, we will have already done Mario Kart. I'm Princess Peach. My son is Yoshi. And then his dad is Luigi, his stepmom's Mario, and his little sister's Toad. Like, so we are like a great blended family.
Amazing.
And people are always like, how do you do this? I'm like, well, it's easy when you love your child more than you dislike your ex. So that's what she just didn't love Skye more than she hated Solomon. So it's possible that Skye had been missing for a substantial amount of time before Julia reported him missing. Although no suspects have been named in Skye's case, the investigation has focused primarily on Julia due to the circumstances surrounding the disappearance and her lack of cooperation. It's possible that Skye is in the Ukraine or in Pakistan. However, authorities believe that he is likely still in Washington State. Law enforcement said that their decision to not charge Julia with anything yet in connection with Sky's disappearance was strategic because they wanted to keep their options open should they eventually learn more about what happened to him. Yeah. And I can appreciate that because if they charged her with child endangerment or something for leaving him in the car, that implies that they believe she really did leave him in the car and he was abducted. By not doing that, it allows them to charge her later with something else in the future should other evidence be discovered. Yeah. So if they determine this guy was, like, killed much earlier, then how does she get charged for reckless endangerment when he was never even in that car, you know?
Yeah.
So she has never formally been declared a person of interest or a suspect in the disappearance of Sky. There is currently a petition on change.org asking for Julia's arrest. It was started by a woman named Desiree Clifton, but I can't figure out her connection to the case, but it's there.
She's just outraged.
Yeah. In the 8 years since Sky was last seen, investigators have spent more than 14,000 hours working on this case and have followed up on over 2,500 tips and spent upwards of $2 million looking for Sky. However, he remains missing. Sky Matawala's case is unsolved. He would have just celebrated his 10th birthday in September. If you have any information about the disappearance of Sky Matawala or his current whereabouts, please contact the Bellevue, Washington Police Department at 425-452-2564 or 425-577-5656. You can also email them at pdtipline@bellevuewa.gov.
Thank you for listening to Sideline Sleuths. If you have any comments or questions about this case or just feedback about the show in general, you can find us online at facebook.com/sidelinesleuths. And if you haven't already had the chance, please rate and review the show on iTunes, Facebook, or any social media or streaming platforms available.